stable marriages, happy, peaceful marriages, peaceful home, produce better Christians, and that is a fact. We will be dealing with that and other related lesson in weeks to come. Tonight we look on the subject, "Before You Say I Do." We want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 through 15. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 15.
"And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband."
May I just drop something here? It's interesting to know that the word "depart" here correspond to our divorce. I want to repeat, the word "depart" here is not referring to separation as we know it. The word "depart" here is referring to divorce. I just want to throw that out. The Greek word used, as every Greek scholar, commentator will tell you, it is the word for divorce. Okay, I just want to throw that. Mm-hmm.
But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if she be pleased to dwell with her, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace."
Okay. I just want to just briefly point out a few things that you might have overlooked in the passage. It's important that Christians keep these biblical facts in mind, some of which relate to another lesson that I plan to deal with in the series. And that is a lesson that we'll title, "After Divorce, What?" After divorce, what? Now, read for me again. I just want to bring your attention. While I will not spend a lot of time discussing these, I just want to bring certain things to your attention in what we have just read. Read again the same text.
"And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord."
Now notice, it's important you notice this. Now there are two passages, or three, which deal with marriage extensively in the Bible. One is Matthew 19, one is Romans 7, and one is this passage, 1 Corinthians 7. There are other passages in the scripture all through the New Testament that make statement or few statements on the point. But if ever you are going to enlighten yourself on God's view of marriage or marriage, divorce, and whatever, Matthew 19 is a very important passage. Romans chapter 7, very important passage. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, notice this. Read again, Brother Blake.
And unto the marriage I command.
Notice, unto the marriage I command.
Yet not.
Notice this. God was speaking through Paul.
Yeah.
So Paul correct something, let it be misunderstood. He said, I command. Then he corrected himself. Yet
not I.
Not I.
But the Lord.
But the Lord. That's important. You know why? Further in Corinthians, this is what? Stop, yes. He's going to tell you that whatever he writes are the commandments of the Lord. Now, here Paul made the statement, unto this I command. He said, wait. I don't mean what I'm about to say come from me. It's really God commanding. Now, where he's going to interject his own judgment, he's going to tell you. This is all the more reason we should respect the word of God.
Amen.
That's where the inspired apostles give their own opinion. They tell you. Where they do not specify that it is their opinion, we must take it as the word of God.
Yeah.
Very important. Okay? So I command, yet not I.
But
what
the Lord.
Command, dear brother?
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
Remember, God is the one who's saying this. And God is speaking here to the Christian. Isn't he speaking to every marriage, Brother Mitchell? No, as you are going to see further in the text. Very important. What is being said here is not to marriage universally, but to the Christian marriage. Read on.
But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife.
So here, even if divorce takes place, if you are Christian, be careful how you go and contract another marriage. Christian must keep that in. I'm not going to go in detail. Probably when I do the lesson after divorce, what? I'll go in more detail. Read on.
But to the rest, speak I.
Now here again, what follows this? It is Paul's opinion or informed instruction. To the rest, speak I.
Not the Lord.
Not the Lord. You know, I give God thanks for this. Read on.
If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him.
Why? You notice what he's dealing with here?
Mixed marriage.
Mixed marriage. That is a marriage between a believer and an unbeliever. Why Paul interject, to the rest speak I? The rest what? The other marriages that is not made up of two Christians. Why not the Lord I? This is telling us, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus Christ spoke extensively in Matthew 19 and in other parts of the gospel about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, Jesus Christ was speaking largely to men and women who were in a C-O-V-N-T, covenant, relationship with God. That's right. That's very important. One day if you understand what I'm saying. Had Christ dealt with mixed marriage, as Paul is now about to deal with, Paul could never have said, the rest speak I, not the Lord. Paul could never have implied that Jesus Christ did not speak on this subject. I'm speaking, I'm giving my best judgment. Because he's dealing with mixed marriage here, and he's telling us it is not from God. It is not God. Paul is giving his best judgment. So, to the rest speak I, not the Lord. What is that? Mixed marriage. A Christian marrying to a non-Christian. It does not mean that God is telling you to. It just means that God is placing some regulation. Read.
And she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean.
All this, they will be comment on this. If I pick up the second part to the lesson this morning, next Sunday, when I show that there are blessings relating to those who belong to God's family that the ungodly does not have. This passage is one key passage that even in a mixed marriage, because of the godly side of that marriage, because of the wife or husband who is a child of God, there are blessings reaped that would not otherwise be there had one party not been a Christian. Don't take your Christianity for granted.
Amen.
And not sell it cheap. Please. You are valuable in God's sight. That's right. Read on.
Or else your children were unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace.
Okay, I'm not even going to hope I'm not tempted to comment, because there are some things I would say that relate to other lesson or part of this lesson when I reach further. I may just add to that. The lesson tonight, and before you say I do, will be at least a two-part lesson, two or three-part. Now, the subject of marriage. The subject is usually approached, I said usually, which means not always, it's usually approached with unguarded emotions and sentimentality most of the time. I repeat, marriage is usually approached with unguarded emotion and sentimentality most of the time. Emotion and sentimentality hinders us from hearing properly, seeing properly, and understanding properly. When our feeling is the only thing that guides us in estimating things, in analyzing things, we are not in the best position to do a good job. When it is just emotion, impulse. And that is not good for marriage. Let me back up. God intend marriage to be a happy relationship. I want to repeat that. God did not intend for any of us to enter marriage with scaredness and timid. God intend, brother just read it in verse 15. I don't want to comment on that because the phrase God has called us to peace. You know, some wonder is that phrase to be taken with the dissolution of the marriage spoken about in, I think, verse 15, are the preservation of the marriage spoken about, I think, in verse 12 through 14. But I just call your attention briefly to God has called us to peace. The implication in that phrase is that in your marriage, God does not want you to do things that would create disruption and lack of peace and tug of war and contention in your marriage. God does not want that for a marriage. But Brother Mitchell, how that is so common in marriage? It's our failure, not the failure of the Word of God. That's right. It's because we, lot of time, enter marriage either unprepared, or we do not apply the Word of God, or we do not live the Christian life the way God expects us to live it. And this applies to both wife and husband. I'm not saying both of them are equally to be blamed. But what I'm establishing here is that God intend marriage to be peaceful. God intend for you to enjoy certain amount or certain degree of stability, peace in your marriage. God intends the home to be the place that wherever you go and there is tug of war and contention, when you come home, you should have some peace. That's the way God intended. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians here, in effect, he was saying, be careful what you do. Remember, God called us to peace. In fact, let me just sing some on it. The God called us to peace. The phrase, go with the two last sentences in verse, I think, verse 15. Let me hear it, brother. Let me make sure here.
A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases.
Yes, verse 15.
Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace.
Okay. Read again, Matthew.
But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart.
Okay, this is one of the sentences. If the unbeliever depart, let him depart. The other sentence.
A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases.
A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. Now, these two sentences. Now, God has called us to peace is in reference to these two sentences. What Paul is saying is that if the unbelieving side of the marriage decide to go his or her own way, the Christian wife or husband should not take legal step or whatever step to force that husband or wife to live with him or her, because that if the unbelieving side want to mash up the marriage, then the Christian side forcing him or her to stay not going to produce peace. And Paul has to remind the Christian, God called us for peace. God doesn't want your life to be contentious and warify and unhappy. What a blessed God. So don't enter marriage thinking, well, I'm afraid. No, remember, God intends for you to have peace and contentment. Yes, there will be challenges. Huh? Yeah. But God intends for peace. Now, while you do not go in it with timidity, you must go in it with carefulness. Very important. So we proceed. As I said, emotion and sentimentality hinders us from hearing, seeing and understanding God and our own danger on the subject of marriage. And by danger I mean sometimes there are some things staring us in the face, telling us that this marriage not going to produce the peace and the stability and the contentment I'm seeking. Sometimes it stares us in the face. But because we are driven by emotion and sentimentality, sometimes by desperation. May I, brothers and sisters, under any circumstances, remember, whenever we make decision, important decision, under desperation, we tend to make wrong decision. You must not forget that. Any of us. If you are desperate, if I'm selling a house and I'm desperate to sell it, Brother Gilbert is a real estate person, I'm more likely to sell it cheaper than I could have otherwise gotten from the house. The probably my back is against the wall. At least, probably that's what I think. And I feel I must sell the house. When I sell it and hear afterward what the man beside me, same size house, same shape, whatever, got for his, be careful how you make important decisions out of desperation. May I, for reason, different reason, this mistake is sometimes easier made by women than by men. And it's good as a sister, as a lady, to keep this in mind. Yes, I want to get married, and I would like to get married before I reach certain age. But make sure you do not sell the little peace and contentment you now have in your life is something much worse. So. While you want to, and nothing wrong in wanting to get married. That's a natural, healthy desire. But make sure that You keep your head and your body at all times. In fact, I may just add, when I talk about emotion, emotion going to be involved in love. Let me say it again. Feelings and or emotion is the natural part of love. And when you think of your partner, finding a partner, lifelong partner, emotion is a part of it. Just don't make it all the parts. Please, make sure that some rationality help to guide you. Because that is what's going to help you to weigh things properly before you say, I do. When God instituted marriage, the Almighty God did so. Remember, marriage was instituted in the Garden of Eden before man sinned. Everybody gets it? Marriage, when God made Eve for Adam, that's when marriage was instituted. And notice, the primary purpose, divine purpose for marriage is companionship. Companionship. Relating sexually and all of that takes second place to companionship. That's right. Where each is there for the other. So when the Almighty God instituted marriage, the Almighty God did so for marriage to last the life time of the two people involved. You see, we live in society now, and it is becoming more so. 10 years from now, it will be more so. 20 years. Where you meet a young man or young woman, 45, 50, and a lot of times they have been married 3 times already. And it's not that one wife died or one husband died. If you're a child of God, now, if that took place when you were ungodly in the world, it's a different scenario. But if when you are a Christian, you just married, divorced, that's not God's will for your life. God intends marriage to last a lifetime. So, before we say I do, if I'm a child of God, it's not good for me to enter marriage with the concept, if it doesn't work, I can go my separate way and he or she goes his separate way. It's not good to enter marriage with that concept. It's good to, before you say I do, enter marriage remembering that God made it to be a lifelong commitment, a lifelong agreement. Always remember that. Because right now, various congregations of the Lord's church, we are dealing with situations where we sometimes are confused. I mean, church leaders. I told you, Brother Fisher and myself were on the phone last week, sent his regard. He was dealing with a situation. Here is a man who responded to the gospel. Wants to get baptized there in England. Just about when Eddie was ready to baptize him, he got the bombshell of his life. You know, Eddie said, Brother Mitchell, I'm sure if I were at Patrick City, I wouldn't have to deal with this. You would deal with it. I said, welcome to the club, brother. The prospective convert, sincere gentleman, said, I have three wives. And he doesn't mean that he had been married once and divorced three times. All three wives, he was married to them and living with them. I think he's from Africa. You know, a lot of Africans migrate to England and they would come, work probably for a year or two, go back, spend a few months and come back. I think it's a situation because naturally he could not live in England having three wives. Now, the dilemma was, would you baptize him, Brother Mitchell? I said, would you baptize him, Brother Fisher? Now, the point I'm saying, brothers, is that a lot of time when we mess up our lives, sometimes preacher, elders, not even angel can help us. Truly. Because sometimes our lives are so tangled up. And I've seen over the years situation where they are faithful brothers. I've seen a lot of this in the States. Faithful brothers in the church. It's like they'll give their lives for the church. But you know what? Their lives have been messed up through marriage. So they have to just come sit down. They want to be active. It would be good if they could be active. But they have messed up their lives so much that the church cannot use them. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, respect God's design, God's plan, and God's standard for marriage. It was meant to last a lifetime. Never enter thinking if it doesn't work. Enter it, we have to make it work. And you know what you have to do to make sure that the person that you're planning to marry respect marriage. That they do not see it as a light thing that they can just throw one side at will. Because you see, that's going to create problems for you. If you respect God's word and what God says about marriage, and you're entering marriage with a person who just sees, whenever we want, we can just get a lawyer, then you are in trouble already. In fact, remember too that a lot of the guidelines for marriage is found in the same passage that was read tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So be mindful of that. There is the other passage that gives a lot of guidelines for marriage, some do's and don'ts, and that is Matthew, I think, chapter 19. So, with the fact, with these two facts in mind, that is, one, marriage was meant to last a lifetime. The other fact is, God intends for His people, for the Christian, to enjoy certain degree of peace and stability in their life, in their marriage, in the Christian home. With these two facts in mind, are because of these two divine truths, as it affects marriage, it is of utmost importance that those entering marriage and thinking about it, make sure that you know what you want, that you have the, well, let me put it like this, that you have certain degree of maturity, and that you are sensible and rational enough to judge your feelings before taking up marriage. In a Roman Catholic booklet dealing with marriage that I read many, many umpteen years ago, and I never forget the title of it, "The Best Time to Help Marriage is Before It Begins." That is a fact. That is a fact. You must enter marriage respecting God's design, God's standard, and God's plan. You must enter marriage considering, respecting, and accepting God's plan for marriage. We cannot apply, if we are Christian, societal law and principle to guide our home and marriage. We cannot. God's word is the best guide. May I just throw to? Do you know that when you respect God's plan and design for your marriage, God bless your marriage? If you enter marriage wanting to abide by what God says in that about that relationship, and God knows that in a sincere way, you want to respect all that He says in regard to your marriage, God loves that and He works with that marriage and that home. When we enter marriage and have no regard for what God says, how are you going to call upon God when problem comes? Now tell me. If you or I enter marriage and all that God says to guide us as Christians in our marriage, in our home, in our marital relationship, we don't have much regard for it. We throw one side what we want, throw one side. My husband is the head of the house only when I agree with him. You think when problem come in that marriage, God going to respond to you? You see, brothers, we are self-defeating. You can't work against God like that. You throw from His principle what He gives you to guide your life. And when hot water come, you look to God. Mm-mm. But you see, turn it around. When you respect what God says, and you live your life trying to abide by respecting that is from God, you can always go to God when problem comes. So, yes, there have been far too many cases of men and women falling out of love too quickly. Far too many are saying they did not know marriage was like that. Are we there? Are saying romantic love is not enough. All these are things you should consider before you enter marriage. Are we there? Huh? Make sure that before you say I do, that the I was about to say that you love the person enough that that love can absorb a lot of pothole. I was about to say, make sure that the love is neutral. And that is important. You are planning to enter marriage. The person you feel love you head over heel. But your feeling towards a person is casual. Well, I will learn to love him, or I will learn to love her. You should make sure that there is a certain degree, certain amount of love before you enter that marriage. You know why? Because if you enter the marriage thinking that when you're married you learn to love the person, you may not love the person more. And the moment any challenge comes to that marriage, you are the quickest one to want out. You don't want that. And God doesn't want that for you. So this business, I'm not in love anymore. Were you in love in the first place? I didn't know marriage was like that. Before you entered, what did you expect of marriage? What is the point, Brother Mitchell? We should have certain practical common sense expectation. Remember I said practical, common sense expectation, rational expectation. Not just emotional and sentimental expectation, but rational expectation. Don't expect of your wife or husband what you don't expect of yourself. In other words, if you expect your wife to be considerate to you, you must realize that she is a human being. You must be considerate to her. If you expect so much of your husband, you must remember your husband is a human being and he has expectation too. You see, we must not be unreasonable in such an important relationship and institution as marriage. So don't have unreasonable expectation. A lot of marriage people after a while talk about, yes, I love my wife or I love my husband, but that is not enough. Well, you should know this before you're married. Huh? You should know what Brother G.P. long ago said, that romance also go with finance. That's right. But you don't wait until you're married to find out that. You enter marriage with the recognition that there are certain responsibility as it relates to both people. We are going to stop here. This is just part of the lesson. We are going to stop here and pick up on this another Sunday night. In fact, I stop with the statement, and when I come back, I'm going to begin with it. That is, don't eagerly, excitedly, intoxicatedly, blindly, thoughtlessly, irrationally, and emotionally run into marriage without giving due and rational and thoughtful consideration to it. So I end this section with this statement, and when I begin next week, I'm going to begin with this statement. Thank you. Before you say, I do. If you're here tonight, you can become a child of God, because God does help us in our marriage, in our home life, and in our single life too. There's no aspect of our life that Jesus Christ does not work with us if we give him the chance. So tonight, if you're here not a child of God, you can come forward when the brother comes to sing the song. Come, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you are a sinner and you need Christ, and that Christ is the only person who can address your sin problem. That's step one, believing. That is after you have been taught. Then, having believed, you will repent, make a decision to turn from all the ungodliness you recognize in your life and turn to the righteous ways of Christ. But you are not a Christian when you repent. When you repent, you must be willing to confess with your mouth the name of Jesus Christ to show that you are not ashamed of him. And having confessed Christ's name as Lord, as Christ, as the Son of God, you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. You are there saying, oh, that's the way one become a Christian at this church. No, sir. It's not so much that's the way you become a Christian, the Bible's way. It so happened that if any church is the true church of Christ, it will tell men and women how to become Christian God's way. We are inviting you tonight to give your life to Christ as we stand and sing.